And we're back. We just heard Clemens Thiemer, a sonata of his played by Acronym. You heard them here in Iowa Public Radio studio. Well, you have also heard over the years Red Cedar Chamber Music, a unique Iowa musical institution. Both commissions new works, often related to Iowa, and performs them around the state in local communities. Well, this is the 20th anniversary season of the founding of Red Cedar Chamber Music, and there is a big change taking place. To tell us about it, we have both the founding artistic directors, Jan Boland and John Dowdall, and the new artistic executive directors who are going to be carrying on their work, cellist Carrie Bastian and his wife, violinist Mira Kim. Well, all are here holding their instruments, ready to give us samples of a program they have been performing around the state, and they will be performing more in the coming months. Nice to have all of you here. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Well, John, let me begin with you. The story of Red Cedar is a kind of remarkable combination of both creativity, of a look for new music, and of community and state, I guess you could call it localism. You've been very connected to Iowa, both in terms of the music and in terms of where you perform. Could you tell us a little bit about how this happened and what you've done?
Yes. Jan and I started performing together back in 1979. Our very first concert as the Boland Dowdall Flute and Guitar Duo was at Grinnell College in the fall of 79. We toured around the state and some around the country and some into Europe up until the mid-90s. And at that point, we became interested in expanding the idea of flute and guitar music to include other instruments. And so in 1997, we rolled out the name Red Cedar Chamber Music with the idea of incorporating other instruments in with the flute and guitar, and we started off doing a lot with a violist named David Miller from the East Coast, focusing on early music for flute, guitar, and viola from the early 19th century.
So reviving music that had been neglected in a way.
Exactly, and doing it on period instruments, so it was a very specific niche, but we also at the same time were still commissioning some new music. We worked with David then and brought in other guest artists. So Jan and I were the core ensemble. We incorporated in 1998, got a board of directors, so we're an official 501c3 organization. Subsequently, we became one of 56 cultural leadership partners in the state of Iowa and continued to use various ensembles ranging from just a single violist up to a string quartet, expanding and contracting the ensemble based on the needs of the music. Then about 10 years ago, we had kind of gotten through the literature for flute, guitar, and viola that we wanted to explore, and we started working with Carrie on cello, and he became the third member of Red Cedar Trio. And we also started working occasionally with Mira in larger ensembles when we had string quartet and so forth, string quartet, flute and guitar. And in 2008, the organization came up with a succession plan, planning for the time when Jan and I might decide that it was time to leave the organization. And we started, Jan and I started looking for possible replacements for our organization, and so we zeroed in on Carrie and Mira without them actually knowing about it. And then we kind of sprung this on them about a year ago and to see if it was a good time for them to make this switch in their lives, because they have been functioning much like most musicians function, which is they had each had multiple jobs, and they were patching together a living, doing everything. Carrie is a conductor. He was also the principal cellist with Orchestra Iowa. Mira was teaching. She was also the co-principal second violinist with Orchestra Iowa. And they kind of had to look at giving all that up, or giving large portions of that up, and turning their focus to running an organization. So for the last year, they have been working with Jan and me in the office the whole year, in addition to performing with us all year long. And in about 3 months, they'll be ready on July 1st to take over the leadership of the organization, both as the directors and as the core instrumental ensemble. And Jan and I will start doing other things. We'll do other things musically, but we will no longer be connected with Red Cedar Chamber Music.
Except we're hoping that sometime in the future.
Not for the first 2 years. We're going to let them run it for 2 years, and they'll continue to run it. But if they want us to come back as guest artists sometime after that, we'll definitely consider that.
Well, we're hoping that all of that happens. But that's a great story. So we've got the plot now. Let me introduce a couple more of the characters here, which is Mira Kim and Carrie Bastian. Now, I should mention, John is sitting there, who you just heard, holding his lovely classical guitar, and Jan's holding her flute. Well, Mira's holding her violin, and Carrie his cello. You have heard them in Orchestra Iowa, where on our broadcast of Orchestra Iowa, Carrie was principal cello, Mira one of the principal second violinists. In addition, they've been very involved in community music making in Iowa City, the Iowa City Community String Orchestra, of which Mira is principal violinist, and Carrie is the conductor. Carrie studied conducting at the University of Iowa with the great James Dixon. Now, Carrie, could you tell us a bit about how these two activities of yours line up in terms of your mission?
Well, the conductor's primary job is as a performer, but as with any performer, and especially for a conductor, there is an inescapable aspect of education. And central to Red Cedar's mission is that of education. And we certainly, this is in our mission statement, and when we reach people, when we're able to go to audiences where they are and where they're comfortable, in rural sites, in rural libraries, in senior centers, and in schools where they're most comfortable, it's actually much easier to reach them and to educate them, certainly with information, but also just the education of spirit, which is what the arts are for. So I find conducting and playing to be quite similar in that regard, and certainly the community orchestra is a wonderful nonprofit organization that has done a great job promoting and commissioning new music by local composers. And so that's something I've always believed in, and one of the things that drew me so strongly to the work that Jan and John were doing with the Red Cedar Chamber Music. And I think this concert is a spectacular example of that success and that definition.
Well, let's hear about this concert now. It's called Music and Magic Lanterns. We heard a bit last time Jan and John were here. It's related to an incredible Iowa resource.
Well, last year we were here with the Brinton Collection. Now, Frank Brinton was a man from Washington, Iowa, who was a very, very successful entertainer all throughout the Midwest. Using first magic lantern slides and then later silent films. And he was one of the first presenters of silent films. He was the director of the State Theater in Washington, Iowa. And in fact, in May, early May, on the 1st and 2nd, we'll be doing some of the silent film music from last year at the State Theater, and the Guinness Book of World Records will be there to name Washington State Theater the longest continuously operating movie theater in the world. And we'll also be presenting some of these precursors to those silent films. So the magic lantern slides were the most popular form of entertainment for about 200 years, and they were used a lot for education. They were used in schools a tremendous amount. They were used as song slides, and our first example is one of those, and they were used for dramatic purposes. Beautiful hand-painted color slides that sometimes had motion and really wowed people.
So there's this tremendous Iowa resource that has just been sort of revived, and you guys are making it alive for people in many communities. I should mention that coming up, they will be bringing this to Marion's Public Library on April 21st, then also to Kirkwood Community College, Vinton Palace Theater on the 28th, Methwick Community Cedar Rapids Senior Center, Solon at St. Peter's and Paul Community Center, and then the grand finale, Cedar Rapids CSPS at 8 o'clock on Saturday, April 30th. And, well, we're going to get a little bit of a preview of this here. We are going to hear three pieces of music that are associated with this. I am going to turn over the introductions to the artists here. We are now going to hear, well, a little bit of a sample of what Red Cedar is going to be offering Iowa. I will step aside, and here is Red Cedar Chamber Music.
So among the 700 slides in Michael Zaza's collection are a lot of song slides, and these would be the 19th century's music videos. Composers would write a new song, and they would create a set of slides, and at these entertainments, they would be presented musically, and then the audience would get to sing along and then go home and buy the sheet music. The piece we're going to play was by Charles Harris, and when we looked at this wonderful set of slides and this great story, the tune really wasn't very good, and Michael Kimber was commissioned to write the music for it. And he's done a wonderful job sort of bringing back to life a lost art of elocution and recitation over musical narration. So you will hear his beautiful, melancholy music, but also the text spoken over guitar accompaniment. There's another picture in My Mama's Frame by Michael Kimber. Come, my baby, tell me why you're crying. Don't you see it pains your papa so? Every day for you nice things I'm buying, and I'd like to see you smile, you know. Then she said, I know you are the dearest and sweetest papa of them all. If you love me truly, you will tell me surely, who's the lady's picture on the wall? Thank you. Yes, my darling. It's a pretty lady, and she's going to be your new mama. She'll be good and kind to you, and maybe you will love her so 'twill please Papa. But I don't want another mama, for I've one in heaven who loves me. Must you bring another? Must I call her mother? His heart aches as she cries plaintively. There's another picture in my mama's frame. It's some other lady's. Her smile is not the same. My mama was sweeter. I think it is a shame there's another picture in my mother's frame. Thank you.
Okay, that was the first of three commissions that we have done for this program, Music and Magic Lanterns, which is pairing classical chamber music with magic lantern slides from the collection of Michael Zaz, which is from the Brintons, who originally showed these magic lantern slides in the early part of the 20th century down in Washington, Iowa. The next commission is from Stephen Cohn, and we selected an extensive set of slides, 13 slides, that depict the most, or one of the most famous poems from the 19th century, which was written by Rose Hartwig Thorpe when she was 16 years old. This became so popular, this poem, at recitations that after a while they started advertising that it would not appear on a given recitation to make sure that people would come because they knew that they would not be subjected to hearing this yet one more time. The poetry is called Curfew Must Not Ring Tonight, and it's a heroic story of a young girl who puts her life onto the line to save her boyfriend, her lover, from execution. And we're going to give you a brief bit of this, because the whole thing lasts more like 17 minutes. And the poem comes in 10 stanzas. Stephen Cohn, our composer from Hollywood, who is also an Emmy-winning film score composer, has given us some Hollywood feeling to this. He has his music in four sections. And we're going to give you the second section of music, and this is depicting the passage in the poem where the young girl, Bessie, finds out that her boyfriend, Basil, has just been sentenced by the judges to die that evening at the ringing of curfew. So she musters up all her energy and swears to herself that curfew will not ring tonight and must not ring tonight. So Carrie is going to read you one stanza of the poem, and that will be followed by Entr'acte One, which is called Within Her Heart's Deep Center.
Wild her eyes and pale her features, stern and white her thoughtful brow, and within her heart's deep center, Bessie made a solemn vow. She had listened while the judges read, without a tear or sigh. At the ringing of the curfew, Basil Underwood must die. And her breath came fast and faster, and her eyes grew large and bright. One low murmur, scarcely spoken. Curfew must not ring tonight. Thank you.
That was one movement from Stephen Cohn's piece, Curfew Must Not Ring Tonight. That was a little teaser. The entire piece is about 17 minutes and really takes you on a journey with the interspersing of the text and the music. And the final piece we'd like to play for you today is The Tiger and the Tub by Philip Wharton. Philip grew up in Decorah, Iowa, and he now lives in New York City. He's a violinist and a composer. And when he was given the choice of several sets of slides for inspiration, he was immediately taken with The Tiger and the Tub. It's a set of 8 slides depicting an old folktale from India. What I find so interesting is the story is not profound, but the slides are beautiful, and Philip has given us a very complex and interesting work of music. There are 3 characters in this story, Mr. Long, Mr. Short, and the Tiger, and Philip has chosen each instrument to represent a character. Mr. Long will be played by the cello. Mr. Short will be played by the flute. And the Tiger will be played by me on the violin. Please enjoy this virtuoso work, The Tiger and the Tub by Philip Wharton.
Thank you.
I love that piece. That was Red Cedar Chamber Music, a new work written for them by Philip Wharton, born in Decorah, called The Tiger and the Tub. And it's a sample of a program they'll be performing in a number of towns in Iowa over the next month, with the grand finale being on April 30th at CSPS Hall, Saturday evening, 8 p.m., Music and Magic Lanterns. Each one of those pieces inspired by magic lantern slides uncovered by Iowa historian Michael Zoss from an extraordinary Iowa collection. And well, thank you so much for coming and playing that for us, you guys. That was tremendous.
It was our pleasure to be here. Thank you.
I have a question. You've made a number of really extraordinary recordings over the years. Any plans to put any of this into that format? I hope.
Well, it is, of course, as you understand, being in the business, the whole recording industry is in a huge change going on now.
So I hear, yes.
Right. So you hear. And so we haven't made a recording for a few years. Part of that is simply that it's very expensive to do that. And then release it. Our recording company, Fleur de Son Classics, does the release, and it gets digitally distributed and so forth. But we've got a lot of music that is certainly worthy of being recorded, and I don't think that discussion is off the table. But again, it's a big project to undertake something like that. Actually, what we're doing now is, in lieu of making recordings, we are videotaping and audiotaping our final performance, which will happen again for this concert on April 30th, and then posting that to YouTube.
Perfect.
And the wonderful part about this is, if we were to do a CD recording, usually the lag time between the time a composer writes a piece and it actually gets distributed is about 3 to 4 years. This way, this music was written last summer, and by this summer it will be up on YouTube. So the composers get their music out there much quicker, and actually, in a sense, you get a much more realistic idea. When you make a CD, you go back and you take out all the little details and mistakes, and sometimes you don't get the energy of a live performance. So getting the energy of a live performance, even if there are a few little mistakes in there, the mistakes are not really important. What is important is the music and the energy of the performance. So I think in some ways the YouTube posting is a more real representation of the music than all that carefully crafted recording studio stuff.
Amen to all of that. Yes, and I'm glad you could bring that energy to our studio just now. I mean, I suppose another element with YouTube is there's a visual element to this project.
Right, incredible. And so we hope that the people who have heard this on the radio will say, love the music, but I'd sure love to see it in the context with the slides. And of course, hear that entire Curfew Must Not Ring Tonight, which really is a dramatic story that has a great conclusion. Stephen Cohn wrote great music for that. And it's a very satisfying conclusion to the concert. So I hope people will come out.
And the details, your website has the finest URL, I can imagine. It's easy to remember. redcedar.org.
That's correct.
One little detail about Curfew Must Not Ring Tonight, by the way, is that it has an Iowa connection, which is that the poet, is it Rose Thorpe?
Rose.
Based this on a short story by a very famous writer of the century named Lydia Sigourney, after whom the town in Iowa was named. So, hey, full
there
circle.
We go.
Isn't that great? There's an Iowa connection to almost everything, actually.
As you have discovered, yes.
On
yes.
The planet, yeah.
Well, it's such a pleasure to have you back in Studio One once again to tell us about this. And I am sad at the change, but I'm glad that the vitality of what you have started, Jan and John, is going to continue with Carrie and Mira, and that you will also, I think, be a part of this in the future, but that there's this new energy to it. It really took on a kind of life that you could not have imagined 20 years ago, probably.
That's so true. We're very excited to see this happening.
Tremendous. Well,
and we couldn't be prouder of the people that we're passing it on to than Carrie and Mira, so we're just delighted.
Completely agree. Well, it is such a joy to have all of you in here. Thank you so much for coming into Iowa Public Radio and sharing this with us.
Thank you, Barney.
Thank you, Barney.